Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello there. It's showtime.
Picture it.
Small town.
Did I do that?
I'm
Sailor Moon.
Champion
of justice.
The power is yours.
Alrighty, so welcome to the Radical Retro Rewind podcast. This is a special bonus episode for September, and today I have a special guest. I know him as Kevin. You might know him as KGZ. He is on Instagram, Twitter, all over the place. And Kevin, he is a actor, model, singer, cosplayer, and a podcaster himself. Welcome, Kevin.
All the hats I wear, it's crazy. When you lay it all out there.
That is a lot of hats.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just very eclectic. I don't know if I've become exceptional at any of them, but I get by on them. You know, mediocre on most of them.
Well, you must be doing well, Kevin. Look at you. People love what you do, so you're doing right.
Thank you.
Okay, so this episode, we're going to get to know Kevin a little more because I know him mainly because he is a huge part of the Charmed original series community, as well as really a lot of other properties that...
What's happening?
Where do we begin?
The beginning of time. What was the first... we can talk about the earliest thing I've loved, I suppose, or we can talk about...
Yeah, why not? Okay. Let's go there. When did you realize that you had such a passion for things such as Charmed or... properties like this, pop culture properties, and you've cosplayed as a lot of things as goodness.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I've always just kind of been into the nerdy things. I've liked things that had an element of supernatural or an element of magic or an element of, you know, some kind of power, like X-Men was really big too, because, you know, anything that could do somebody, I mean, especially with elemental stuff, but there's always I liked that magic stuff. And
especially elemental, when it could just something that can just shoot out, or like a beam, almost like Cyclops. This man is regularly seen as Cyclops for any X-Men fans out there.
That's a staple of mine nowadays. Yeah. Love my Cyclops. I think I just always liked that stuff. And I always was drawn, even before that, though, I was drawn to things with music. And the singing.
Which makes sense with some of the topics we're going to cover today. So music really started your world going.
Right. And my parents weren't musicians and they didn't know anything. And, you know, I'm not really trained in music at all, but I have a really good ear. I met the match pitch. So, and that's, I just kind of do that and it sparked other things, I suppose. I was like, what do I all get into? I don't know.
Well, were you into musical theater when you were in school by any chance?
Let's see. Well, I saw the first play I saw was Annie. The first musical I saw was Annie. That was on stage, and I was probably about 5. And I don't remember much about it, but I do remember I remember the headshot wall. I'm just like, oh, these pictures. I want a picture here.
Ooh, see yourself up there one day.
Yeah, and then we did field trips in school to see plays and musicals, and then I really wanted to do stuff then, but my parents couldn't afford to sign me up for classes, or there's a children's theater called First Stage that we could do, but my first real play didn't happen until high school, when I auditioned for stuff.
Do you remember what it was that you auditioned for?
What was it? I believe it, oh, it was, well, the first thing I auditioned for was a Shakespeare play.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. That's serious stuff there.
That was serious. It's my very first ever audition, and I was The Merry Wives of Windsor.
I love it.
And I got cast. It was my, like, first week of school. I got cast as, like, some, like, minor character. But I was like, oh, cool. I have some lines. I'm going to be, like, a little sidekick. It'd be great. And then I, like, mixed up my rehearsal days, and they kicked me out.
No. Oh, my goodness.
I know. Little 15-year-old me. I'm like, I came on a day that I wasn't scheduled for, and then I missed a day I was scheduled for. And he's like, in the real world, you'd be fired right away. I'm like, well, thanks. My first ever show as a 15-year-old freshman. I guess that's a life lesson.
Kevin, that is terrible. I mean, you're not out in the real world yet. Give the kid a chance. My goodness.
Yeah, yeah. Funny thing about that, too, is the guy was a guest director, and I ended up seeing him later on in my school theater repertoire. He is a teacher for kids at a theater that I do a lot of shows at now.
Did he recognize you?
He has no recollection of me whatsoever here. But I'm just like, you're that guy that kicked me out of my first play.
Maybe one day you'll just go up to him and be like, you know what? I was 15 and I came on the wrong day. Wow. Okay, so along the same lines, you're cosplaying.
Yeah. Yeah.
When did that begin? And do you remember your first?
I did a lot of like dressing up. I did like some little Spider-Man stuff first. And Spider-Man is a big staple of mine too. But I just got a random suit, and I would walk around outside at, like, I went to the Salvation Army or like Target and walked around the aisles in my costume and be like, hey.
did you get you know, reactions from people?
Yeah, people thought I was some crazy lunatic, but which I probably was, you know, it's fine, but I had a fun time. The thing about that was, that's funny, is because the Spider-Man suit didn't have any like footies on it or like soles on it. I would slide on the tile, so I would like keep tripping. I would be running around and then fall on my face.
My goodness.
And there's video of that on YouTube too.
Is it really? Oh no! Have you gone back and seen it lately?
Not lately, but and the thing is, there was no audio on that video, but I ended up adding a commentary to it. I'm such a lame-o, but it's fine.
But at least you can go back and laugh.
I was creative, you know.
That is great. Creativity.
You know? Mm-hmm.
Which is something a lot of people, you know, don't have, or it doesn't hit them right away. So
I'm trying something. It might be awful, it might be stupid, but I'm doing it, you know.
So Spider-Man, so that was your first foray, really, like in real life, attempting the costume and going out into the real world. The real world.
But my first convention, my first cosplay at a convention was in 2011, and I did a bad man Vegeta with him in the pink shirt. Yeah, and I went, and it was something easy. I went on the bus with my crazy spiky wig, and I had my pink shirt. it was a lot of fun. And from there, it just kind of spiraled, and I got more invested and looked for more detailed things and fancier things, and yeah.
Kind of now, do you go by the month, by the week, and do you think of ideas for the future? Or is it something that hits you almost like you see a character one day and go, you know what? Like, I haven't tried that character yet. Or is it really just ones that you feel truly passionate about?
It's a mixture of all those things. Like, I do have like a list of cosplays I want to do, and I'm like, okay, I think it's time for this one. I'm ready to pull that one out of the hat. say I'm watching a show, and I, you know, I'm just learning it, and just like, you know, I really identify with that character, or I think I could pull that character off, and then I'll add it to my list, and you know, work on it from there. So it's fun. It's good.
And do you find that there's one that gets the most attention?
Cyclops is a big one. My Sailor Saturn cosplay got a lot of attention too.
Oh my goodness, for any Sailor Moon fans, Kevin has this, what would you call, like, is it called a gender bend?
Correct, a gender bend. Mm-hmm.
And he is Sailor Saturn, and my god, I mean, I love Sailor Moon, so for any Sailor Moon fans out there who are listening, who wants to see really cool pictures.
Yeah, it was fun. And that I wasn't really planning on doing, but I had friends that were putting this group together, and they asked me to be a part of it, and I'm like, sure, why not? This sounds fun. And I got all the stuff together, and the bodysuits themselves were kind of commissioned by our person that did Sailor Moon. So they commissioned a private artist, and they made all of our suits. And so it was all the same maker. all consistent throughout. And
so unison, so you actually look like the group. Yeah, so yeah. You're all the same kind of look. Was Sailor Saturn actually a character that you enjoyed, or did you get just placed into that role?
They gave me a list of who was available still. So there were several ones. I'm just like, I like Sailor Saturn. I'll do Sailor Saturn.
So, silent but deadly.
Yes. Oh, yes. I don't know. She's like super like minor, but she's like well known, but she's like an underdog because she's not always in the forefront. She's not always the one fighting, but she comes in. She's like, watch out. Like,
that is right. When she's not, like you said, she's not used often, but she's when she really is needed, and she comes and she makes a statement.
Mm-hmm. And that's kind of always how I felt, like, because I was never like the leader type. Like with Power Rangers too, I never really identified with the leader character. I always went for the underdog, like Billy. I cosplay as Billy,
which is the perfect segue. Okay, so this I love this. I mean, Billy himself, David Yost. I've seen him like your stuff before. So is that like a head trip that the actual Blue Ranger? And have you met him in real life?
I've met him a few times. I've actually funny story because I had to mail him some stuff. So, several years ago now, he did like a walk down Hollywood Boulevard as the Blue Ranger wearing the suit and everything.
So I had to, cool.
Yeah. And I had to lend him like my cuffs and boot things, and he borrowed them from me. And so.
Wow.
Yeah. So we talked, and because he was going after Billy Celeste, who had them first. And then I bought them from Billy, so he had to come to me to get them. And it was a fun little triangle, but yeah. And then I met up with him again at Power Morphicon. After that, I'm like, okay, I'm ready to get my stuff back. Like, hey.
I hope he had it.
He did have it. But it was hard because I was in another cosplay at the time with another group. So it's just like, I can't get it right now. I have to like just put it somewhere. And then so we had to come back a couple times. And and we got our pictures and things like that. And then he came to Chicago, like I think a year after that. And I'm just like, I was dressed like Aladdin at the time. And I came, hey, it's Kevin. He's like, I know who you are. I know what you look like. I'm like, okay.
Oh my God. So, God, that must be a head trip.
Yeah, it's so neat. It's crazy to think, like, little 5-year-old me, and now you're like, okay, we're friends, kinda, I guess.
That is crazy. So I have to say as well, Billy was always my favorite. I don't know if it's subconsciously almost sensing that he is that underdog kind of thing.
Exactly.
Yeah, he was such a lovable character.
What I loved about Blue Rangers, especially his arc, but Blue Rangers in general, the arc is similar. They start off as, like, very much the underdog, very the person that you don't think is going to be able to do much, and then they progress and they grow, and then they become a real force to be reckoned with. They learn and they adapt, and they have this really nice character arc, and I love that.
And really, Billy, his end of his arc, didn't he become almost like somebody in the command center and was really in control of all that and helping out in that side, the technical side of things?
Yeah, after he stopped being a ranger, he was kind of there as a support, and then he like fell in love with an alien or something and then went up to the aliens, but he's like, I'm gonna go live with them now up there.
Oh, I hope you're happy there, Billy, with your alien love. I hope it's going strong still.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That would be nice.
We find out all these years later how they're doing. Okay, so you started with Mighty Morphin then.
Correct. Yeah, I was in first grade or so when that came out. I think we were born. Are you the same age as me?
I'm 85. You're
87. So
87. Okay, okay. So yeah, I was. God, was I in first grade? Second grade? Third?
Probably, because it started when I was, like, right in first grade, so you must have been, like, right in third grade when it came out.
Okay, so third grade, and my God, so perfect timing to get into Power Rangers.
Yeah.
And did you continue through the series up until recent? Do you still watch the new entities? Are you picking and choosing, or are you just more classic up to a certain point after Turbo? You know like, all of these different incarnations.
It is really funny, because when I was younger, I did fall off at a certain point. I think I probably watched through Around in Space.
Okay, yes. Sounds about right for me, too.
Yeah, and then I kind of dropped off. But then after I started doing the cosplay, I got all wrapped up in this Power Ranger community, and I was going to conventions all the time, and so I was, like, watching them all the way through. And I did watch the Dino Charge one from beginning to end.
I think that is really...
It's so good.
So good! I mean, I would say Mighty Morphin is my favorite, but Dino Charge is amazing!
Yeah, I loved Dino Charge. So I ended up doing a Mighty Morphin Dino Charge hybrid cosplay. I don't know if you ever saw that.
I don't think I did.
Oh, okay. I have to send you pictures. It was really cool because I got like the basic suit of like what Dino Charge was with like the little cross.
That yes, thing. That sash thing.
Yes, and then we had that little triangle thing. I have a little Triceratops in there, a little blue Triceratops, and then my little battery. I put a little blue Triceratops on there as well. I took the Pink Ranger one and I just put blue stickers, like I commissioned some stickers and then I had it's so cool. It was really fun. So I'll send you pictures of that.
Is that half the fun, designing everything and getting to change the costume and customize it to look basically like fit you, but also have this unique things like you're saying with the, right. You know, you got your custom made sticker that went on it.
Yeah. And when things like that, when it's something that's very unique and specific that you're coming up with an idea that you had, there is something very rewarding about that. And I think that's probably why that hybrid is one of my favorite cosplays too, just because no one else has ever done it. I'm the only one. And,
ooh, so you're down in the Power Ranger holes of my goodness.
Yeah, I really wanted to get a whole team together of those kind of hybrid Rangers, but no one else agreed to do it. So I'm like, fine.
I'm surprised that didn't get, like, I know. Start something.
There is some fan art that was made of it, of that, so you never know.
Okay, so you're saying the Power Ranger community, which I know is a huge, I mean, they are loyal fans.
Yeah.
Would you say, though, if you had to compare the Charmed community to the Power Ranger community, are they just as hardcore, or did you see one battle the other, like, for fandom, like, levels of fandom?
Oh my gosh, I think no matter what fandom you are, they are going to be the crazies, and they're going to be the ones that are, you know, all about, I mean, because, you know, I'm all about things, I get obsessive, but with Power Rangers, it's been, you know, you go back to Super Sentai, the Japanese, where adapted from, that's like 40 plus years of that, my plus goodness, the 25 yes. plus years of Power Rangers, and people are all about all that, and they say, oh, but did you watch this and this and this, and...
Going back to the original, like you said, the Japanese source material, is that a big thing as well for, the loyalists?
Yeah, if you have not watched any Super Sentai, they don't count you a real fan. If you just know Power Rangers, you have to, yeah, right. You need to know, you need to go back to your roots. Like,
man, I mean, sometimes it's hard because, like you said, there's how many years? 40 plus years of material? So even availability, I would imagine, isn't as readily.
Yeah, there used to be a website or a place you can watch them, but then as they were slowly released onto DVDs, then they would take them off, so you have to get the DVDs then to...
and then they go out of print, as we know, with various other things. Charms books go out of print very fast.
They went out very fast. I didn't have to worry about that, but... because I had them pre-ordered back in the day.
So smart. So I used to go to Borders to pick them up, but I should have been pre-ordering them on Amazon or something like that as well.
Yeah, I went to Barnes & Noble, so very similar. Oh, that's where I met you.
That's right. Oh,
look at these segues. Look at these segues.
We should mention that. That's true. So,
yeah,
Kevin, how long ago was this now?
That was 2019, I think. Was it?
Why does it seem like five? I know the shutdowns and everything. It just seems like it was a million years ago now. Yeah, but
it was like right before, because it was like November of 2019.
My goodness, holy crap! So, being Charmed fans that we are, Alyssa Milano was out in New York to do a book signing for the day, and Kevin, you ended up flying in for the day.
I flew in just for a day, just to meet her. I came in. I did a photo shoot, and then I went right to the Barnes & Noble. I was there like 3 hours early, too.
I'm so glad, too, because we had talked after this and mentioned, too, like, they had no idea even where things were going to be. Like, when you got there earlier, they're like, we kind of think it's going to be there. We might be there. And the whole time, I know me as well, I'm like, wait, are we going to miss it? Are we not going to get in? Is there a certain cutoff?
I thought there was going to be, like, a line to get in the door. Like, I wasn't sure what to expect. So I was there. I'm like, I'm making sure I get here early because, you know, I want to be there and get it.
And you were there with your Book of Shadows. And you have one of the, I mean, you have a beautiful replica.
Yes. I didn't bring my actual replica. I brought my DVD set, actually.
So you did have you brought your DVD set. Smart.
But it's you know, the one Rob has that it's like that? Except
yes.
I have the bigger version. I have the limited deluxe edition version.
Oh, see, I have the smaller one as well. So there was another, like a deluxe one then.
Uh-huh.
Okay, because that's why it's more broader.
Yeah. It's taller, it's wider, and inside there's not, because in the small one, they have those little sleeves that they're in.
Yes.
And there, all the discs are one page in little clip holders.
Wow.
So it's a lot nicer, but they went out a lot faster. And the thing is, if you're trying to buy that one, it's hard because you might get the other one. They try to mix and match and try to trick you. And
that's right. They label it as like the complete series Book of Shadows all the time. And then you know, what is it?
Yes. It's officially, the official name is Limited Deluxe Edition is how you know it's the larger one.
That's good to know, because I have to say that the original one, that smaller one, all the, I'm sure you know this from over the years, right? All the pages, like the little slip-in for the disc, they rip. And they're all scratched. All the discs were scratched. They came scratched. It was a nightmare.
Yeah, I heard all the stories. I never got that one, so I don't know, but I heard all the stories about it. I'm like, I'm so lucky I got the one I did.
And now there's that Blu-ray that you got.
Yeah.
This Blu-ray. Oh, my goodness.
And it's I just happened to have it next to me, yeah. And
it's, perfect timing.
And this is a lot like the other one, except the pages are really, because they're very blocky, they're very square. But this has sleeves like that too.
So, but it looks almost like they improved the sleeves.
Yeah. So yeah. Yeah. They have like a little bonus disc. I think because when the season 3 Blu-ray came out, they messed up the they didn't have all the scenes in there they're supposed to have. So
that is crazy.
But you know what's funny about when we met Alyssa in New York? Because yeah, I saw you, but we didn't like. It's just weird.
No, we had no. I had no idea Kevin was this, you know, charmed person. And then I think. When did I? I don't even know when I found out. I think it was like a few weeks later that I was like, "Oh my god!"
Wait. Right? Yeah. So I think. Yeah, I was trying to find. So I was trying to find people that were there. I'm like, I want to make friends. I want to find who was all in there. And you know, I was trying to look at Alyssa's tags, like if they're tagging her. I'm like, oh, I saw you. I saw you.
She did do that, right? She tagged people. That was smart. That was smart.
So, but yeah, what's funny is though, like. I went up to her, I talked to her, I got my thing signed, and then I left. I'm like, oh my gosh, I didn't get a picture. I'm like, I can't leave here and not get a picture with Alyssa Milano. So no, I ran back.
Flying in, yeah, my God.
Right. I ran back. I'm like, oh my gosh, can I get back in line?
I'm so glad that they didn't tell you no or something like that, because that would have been heartbreaking after waiting that long.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I got my picture. I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm back.
I know I was extremely nervous getting up there, but I was at ease as soon as, you know, talking to her, which was really nice.
She's so easy to talk to. Was she the first charmed star you met?
Holly and Brian were the first.
Okay.
I have to say, Brian, like, I mean, you've met him so many times, but he actually made me felt the most comfortable right away. Holly, I was just like, I didn't even know what to say.
My experience is exactly the same. Yeah. I was like, so when I talk to Holly, I'm like, I can't make words. But Brian is so easy, so chill to talk to.
Oh my God.
He's super great.
And he makes you feel important. Like he's literally giving you the time to talk to you that he really, not that I'm not saying the other girls or whoever doesn't do that, but yeah, he just seems so lovable.
And he asks you questions, he tells you really stories. It just seems very personable, and you know, it's, you know, and he always compliments my arms when he sees me, which is always a great thing.
Well, that is, I mean, if you're going to have Leo compliment you. I mean, if for any listening who aren't Charmed fans, he's a main character on this show. He's basically a guardian angel, for lack of a better word, and he's just this such a sweet character, and it's like that in real life, evidently, as well. And he compliments your body, which is always wonderful.
I know. I'm like, I'll take him. Like, Leo? Yes, thank you.
I don't think he's doing that for everybody, so that's amazing. That's amazing.
Yeah. But he's definitely more of a goofball than his character. He's so wacky, and I love that.
Goodness. I can't wait till they start. Hopefully, maybe we'll get a charmed convention here in the States and not Australia.
That's all I need. Just please.
Just a small one. A small one, please. A small gathering. A few. Just a few. Mm-hmm. Bring Graham's Daryl out. Okay, so let's see how we can link this to Charm, the next topic that I want to cover with you. Actually, is there a segue for this?
Yeah, the other one's just gonna happen naturally. I'm like, I don't know, I'm just talking.
That was a great segue. Okay, I got it.
Okay.
Kevin is also very well known for dressing up as a character from this classic cartoon series, Animaniacs. I mean, how much love do you get for that picture you posted?
I did like TikToks in my Yakko Warner. And I did like lip syncs and stuff. So those were, I think, what really got popular. And yeah, I love Animaniacs. That was probably one of the earliest, besides after, well, there's like stuff before that, but when I was like 8, Animaniacs was like my thing.
And you mentioned music, so music, Animaniacs continuously had musical songs, numbers.
Yes.
And maybe that's also what appealed to you as well. I mean, besides the wackiness and the shenanigans. Yeah.
I always thought the character designs were so cute, too, and I, you know, and there was 3 of them, and, you know, I had a younger brother and sister that we always, I'm like, we're like the Animaniacs now, we can be the, so I would, we'd play like we were the Animaniacs.
so you're the oldest then?
I'm the oldest.
So yeah. You're the Prue, well, here we go back to Charm, but you're the Prue then.
It's weird, because how you look at it, because I do have a half-sister as well. But she's older. So I have an older half-sister, then there's me, and then my dad's kids. Me, my brother, and my sister.
Oh my god, so if your half-sister was your youngest sister, that would be really something. Crazy.
I know. So it is very strange. I'm like, no, is she the Paige or the Prue? I don't know, because she does have a lot of Prue qualities, and she is the oldest one. But then, you know, it's weird. It's a strange thing. So, and then, you know, I have somewhere between a Prue and a Piper. I know that much.
Okay. So. Both older sisters at various points in the show, so there you go.
Yes. I'm the oldest of my dad's kids, so.
So, yes, there's the trio. So it is siblings in this cartoon, which is, I think that's fun to have siblings. Have siblings that get along and actually love and care about each other as well.
That's something that I was always about. Anytime, and I think that was big with Charmed, same with Animaniacs, is because I was drawn to those things with the siblings. I was always close to them.
And, see, that's nice. That's nice, because most people think, like, oh, it's siblings and they're rivals and they're fighting all the time. But to have shows like that that show this love.
Yeah, so many of our friends would be like, why do you like your brother so much? Or why do you like your sister so much? Like, why don't you?
You don't like your brother and sisters? I
mean, like, right? I'm sorry for you.
Yeah, they might have been tortured or something. But I agree. I mean, if you can get along with your siblings, it's so nice. It's such a wonderful thing to have.
Yeah.
What did you think about the 2020 Animaniacs when they came back to Hulu? Did you notice a difference? Did you enjoy kind of the modern take, you know, the modern topics they did as well, I would say?
I mean, I liked it a lot. I mean, it was definitely different and it wasn't as much. I liked the old one better for sure, but the new one is still very enjoyable and I had a lot of fun with the topics they stayed on brand.
Yes,
You know, and the jokes were very fun, and it was always political, so that was always fun to see what they thought about the current state of affairs. Right. Or at least, at least 2 years ago. You know,
yeah, they really always did, like, almost like current satire. Events. Yeah, satire. Perfect. Satire of things.
Yeah. And I've met them, too. I've met all the voice actors of them as well. I'm actually going to the Animaniacs concert in February as well.
They're doing a
concert tour.
You're kidding? And they're going to perform songs from Animaniacs?
Uh-huh.
Wow! Where's that going to be, Kevin?
It's going to be at the Pabst here in Milwaukee, but they're touring all around, so different cities and different things. So go on the lookout. Go on the lookout and see.
That is really cool.
Animaniacs Live. They usually do that when they make a convention appearance. They would have a night where they do that. But when I met them in Chicago, they actually had to cancel that night. So I'm like, well, here's my second chance. And I'm going to dress up. I'm going to wear my Yakko. But I also convinced my younger brother and sister to dress up as well. So.
Oh my goodness. That is perfect.
I can't wait.
Are they excited? Are they into anything like pop culture wise like you are and things like that?
They humor me and they do like things, but they don't get as intense about it as I do because I get really into things. So they're just like, oh, that's cool. So I had to really convince them to dress up. I'm like, come on, it'll be fun. Just do it. Please do it. I'll buy your tickets.
I mean, and to have your actual brother and sister, I think that's amazing.
Yeah.
Are you designing, like, putting together the outfits for them?
Yep. I already have my brother's Wacko Warner hat and his blue shirt. I'm like, just wear a pair of black pants. That's all you need. And I got you covered. and then I bought my sister's little yellow flower that she's going to wear. So
This is okay. So later on, we're going to give Kevin's details, but be on the lookout for these photos at some point.
Yeah, I'm super excited.
Wow. Doing research for today's episode, it seems like they got picked up for 3 seasons altogether. Mm-hmm. So are we going to see Animaniacs continue on now?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm interested.
Now, did you like them better than Tiny Toons then? Because I mean, they're kind of like sister properties, if in a way.
Yeah, they, you know, same people. Tiny Toons was first. Tiny Toons came out first. And I did enjoy Tiny Toons as well. I have my Babs and Buster Bunny up there next to my Animaniacs figures.
Oh, the best, Babs and Buster.
Yes. And I do remember those Happy Meal toys, those Burger King toys, whatever they were.
Oh my god, okay. Thank you for bringing these up, because those were a highlight of my childhood, getting those. I love them. Cars. Like each unique, kind of like shaped.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that brings me
retro.
Back.
There we go.
That is very retro. Wow. I remember if I have those still.
I remember my Go-Go one, my little Go-Go one.
Oh my god, that's the one that just came to my head too. Exactly the one. I guess that one stood out for some reason. But
We had two of them. I think we had two of those. That's why we each had, you know, different playing ones. But yeah, I remember we had Elmira.
I always say the same thing too. Yeah, Elmira. And then there was Montana Max, I believe.
I always thought him and Elmira were going to like be an item.
They looked like they were meant for each other, honestly. Yeah. Especially because were they the only two humans, basically?
I think so. Maybe that's why. Typecast. It's fine.
That or siblings, something. They looked...
They
had, like, this very, like, baby-esque, childlike look.
Yeah.
So another topic, and this kind of makes sense again. So we're connecting the pieces here.
Okay.
Lamb Chops, play along.
Yeah, it's Lamb Chops, play along. Join the kids and play along. We got a lot of good stuff for you. And you.
And you.
And you.
And you.
Yeah, and especially you.
This show is classic. This is, talk about retro.
Yes, I mean, only the oldest people would remember this stuff.
Hopefully, everyone here listening, you're old enough, and you're... So we're not as old, hopefully.
Yeah, right. Hope you're older than me.
Please. But this is Sherry Lewis, who unfortunately had passed away, but my God, this show, talk about music. I mean...
Oh my gosh.
Were you singing along at the end with Charlie Horse and singing This Is the Song That Never Ends as a kid?
Of course. And on, my friend. Some people started singing it, not knowing what it was, and they'll continue singing it forever just because this is a song. Okay.
I was like, yes, yes, yes.
I was all about it. I was, and you know, even the beginning song, Make a Muscle, I sense, you know.
Yes, I remember.
Lamb Chops, play along. Join the kids and play along. We got a lot of good times for you, and you, and you, and you, and you.
Those songs are childhood. I mean, that's childhood in a bottle for me.
Yes, yes. And I remember, because like when I had to go to kindergarten class, I was so upset, because I'm like, I have to go to school and miss Lamb Chop? Like, this is like, this is not okay. So we did have the VCR, and they taped the episode for me, so I'd watch them when I got home from school every day. So I actually have a box somewhere, a VHS tape full of Lamb Chop play along episodes.
Because I wonder if they're probably not. Oh, maybe they are on DVD. Everything is on DVD now. But
I mean, it'd be interesting to see. I should check it out, because yeah, that'd be nice.
I mean, that's a show. Do you also have your Charm DHS tapes?
Yeah. Yeah, the ones where I taped them off the TV, and I still have all those old school commercials. Ava Save-A-Lot.
This is Alyssa Milano. I don't know if this, because I've mentioned this a few times, and people are like, what?
How do you not know Ava Save-A-Lot? Yeah,
you have to know. Thank you for bringing this up, Kevin. These were commercials back in, I don't know if they were strictly on the WB at the time where Charmed was.
They did always show it because of Charmed, but I think there were other places too.
But it was basically Alyssa Milano playing Ava Save-A-Lot. And it was a collect call commercial. Wow, we're really going retro.
We are. I'm just like, wait, those don't even exist anymore.
result, but Ava Save a Lot and those commercials.
Which were 1-800-COLLECT, right? Wasn't it 1-800-COLLECT?
It was 1-800-COLLECT.
Yeah. And she was short. She was like, I'm Ava Save a Lot. I'm gonna,
It was basically like Alyssa as an agent.
Yeah, like a little spy.
And then she did candy commercials as well.
She did. She did.
Oh, see, us old people know these things in our 30s.
The good old days. Oh, the good old days. I was like,
oh, amen. That's right. So yeah, keeping those commercials in is half the battle. Because I used to try to cut the commercials.
I did too.
But then you'd be like, oh no, it's Alyssa.
I have to save this commercial. But then I'm like, now I'm mad that I cut the commercials up, because before I'm trying to save all the space for the good show, but I'm like,
of course,
I wish I had those commercials. So I have to go back and look at my VHS tapes and see what pops up.
Kids nowadays, they don't realize that we had, like, what, on a tape, and if you wanted the episode to look good, you had to put it on fast speed, yeah. There was, like, a lower speed and a faster speed. Oh my god, yes. And the more you got, the quality went down, but... Charmed, it's like, no, high quality, 4 episodes on one of VHS.
I'm trying to think the first, because I didn't start recording any episodes until season 3. I'm old now, and I'm older, and I have resources, I can do this. So, like, I was an 8th grader, when season 3 was going on, but I remember I recorded Bride and Gloom.
I love it, you started around then.
Yeah, and I definitely had to do Just Harried, because this was the big wedding event, Just Harried. And of course I recorded All Hell Breaks Loose. I would watch that. Whenever my friends came over, I'm like, we gotta watch All Hell Breaks Loose.
They're like, what?
I feel like crying today. I need to cry.
Kevin, that summer, non-Charmed fans out there, but this is the season 3 finale where it's the last appearance of Shannon Doherty's character on the show. But talk about that whole summer, Kevin. What is going to happen? How are they going to do this? How are they going to fix this? How is Prue going to come?
I remember, because I knew before All Hell Breaks Loose aired that there was rumors that she wasn't coming back. I remember the rumors in the air, and my friend, she's like, no, and they would have those online petitions. I'm like, I gotta sign this petition.
Yes, the online. Did they ever do anything? We don't know, but we tried.
I was like, it made us feel like, seen, and we had a community. We're like, calling them out. Save Shannon.
So true. Okay, so now that I have you here, I always bring this up. Do you remember how hated Paige was?
Yeah.
Because people nowadays are just like, oh, Paige, like, they have no inclination, I don't think, the newer generation, that people hated Paige. I mean, they gave poor Paige and Rose hell for the first season. I remember people like, she's not Prue, she's not Prue. I mean, and we're both Prue fanatics over here, but the kids nowadays.
It was a huge shock. What was that? A huge shock. And people were just like, and there were a lot of people that stopped watching it. Like,
yes. At that point.
There's someone who actually on my podcast is like, yeah, I don't know anything past Prue because I stopped watching when Paige came. I'm like, really? Interesting. See, I was too invested. I can never.
That's the thing. Like, and I feel like we're similar in this. It was about Prue, but we did love the other sisters as well. So it's kind of like, well, you can't abandon the other two that you loved all these years.
You know, they did feel like family to me. Like I was watching them through the years, growing up with them. It felt like I felt a connection to them. So it's like, I can't abandon them at this time of need.
That's right. They just lost their sister.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's so true. And I'm sure the same thing happened with you. It gets you through these shows, even not just Charms or anything, but these shows really get people through things. Happy times, sad times. Just rewatching a series like this, you grow with the series almost.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Where are we? I feel like we get distracted, but it's fine.
By the way, I'm going to label this "and Charmed" just because.
I mean,
random and Charmed. Because
random and Charmed, because it's always going to come back to Charmed at this point.
I mean, honestly, I'm going to tie this back to classic shows and music, because you also like a show which I love as well. Oh my god, The Elephant Show from 1984. Holy lord. This was, actually, I didn't even know it was a Canadian production.
I didn't either, huh?
So, Canadian TV show starring Canadian singers Sharon, Lewis, and Bram.
Lois and Bram. Do you remember the opening? It's like, with Sharon, Lois, and then and Bram.
Bram was very fancy. He had the N Bram.
Yeah, well, he had that little like goatee, that little scruff, you know?
Yeah, you know what?
He was so daddy, oh my god.
He was daddy before there was a daddy. And they hung around with the giant elephant, which, I love this. The elephant really didn't speak, but it was a tuba?
Yeah, it made, like, noises. It was like, whatever.
So similar to, like, a Peanuts, I guess, like a teacher or something. Yep. It had, like, some kind of instrument sound effect. It's basically what the elephant was. But they would, sing.
Yeah, and his name was Elephant. That's like, Elephant! Oh, Elephant!
That's very easy for them to remember as well.
But, I don't know. I don't know if it was because of the show or before the show, but elephants were my favorite animal, and they're still my favorite animal, and that's why I had a big connection to that show.
Did you like, was it Babar?
Babar, yes!
The elephant!
I was obsessed with Babar, too. Because elephants, I had a thing for elephants in my youth.
So I think it must have started there. You must have wanted a giant elephant to come around, speak in some kind of language that you would understand, because they seem to understand the elephant speech. Oh my god, and what about that intro? The spider coming out of a spider.
One elephant came out to play upon a spider's web one day. They had such enormous fun that he called for another elephant to come. I had a VHS tape of all those episodes too, because someone gave it to me for my birthday when I was turned like six or something, five or six. And I didn't have cable to watch it, so I would watch this VHS tape like crazy.
Again, those VHS tapes disintegrated. If you watch something long enough, it's not like DVD.
No, you start to feel the wires, you steal the fiber optics or whatever on the screen.
Pressing tracking, hopefully, and it's still like, oh my god, thank god, technology.
Yeah, right. I remember there's a lot of episodes of that I remember. I remember Zabba Dabba Dooey when the kid who got his tonsils out.
Yes!
Like, Zabba Dabba Dooey!
That must have been a classic one because that stands out to me as well.
Yeah. Yeah, and then remember there's a Halloween one that was pretty fun. And they went to UNICEF.
They did do UNICEF. Yes. And then they would show, I'm assuming they would tour and do concerts in real life too, because they would show concert clips. Footage.
Yes, yes.
Damn, they were ahead of the time.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, and then the ending, they had another. I think it was very popular for shows of that time to have like a nice opening and then the ending. You know, the Skinnamarinky-Dinky-Doo.
Oh, that was a song. I remember always singing that too as a kid.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's what's lacking. Don't you feel, Kevin, with TV shows nowadays in general? Where are the theme songs? Where are the amazing ones that get you pumped?
Right. No, it's just like, here's a little, like 10 seconds of something. Okay, the show's starting. I remember when Supernatural came out, because that was like the year after Charmed ended. Like,
yes!
Charmed ended. I'm like, oh, Supernatural, maybe this will be my new thing. I was so excited.
Siblings.
Maybe this will be my new thing. And then I'm like, when are they going to do opening credits? I'd watch every episode, like, where's the opening credits?
No.
Where's the theme song? I always, because, you know, I found like, Carry On My Wayward Son, that's their song. Where's the opening credits of that? That would have been epic!
Right, that would fit perfectly for them.
Yeah,
but especially since they played it all the time.
Yeah, but no opening credits for them. I'm like, I missed opportunity.
Can you even think of a show? I mean, maybe Animaniacs when they came back, they had their theme song again. But I can't think of the last time a show had a great, catchy theme song, especially on TV.
Yeah, all those shows from the 80s and 90s, even 70s, they all had really awesome theme songs, and that's how you it sticks with you. That's how you remember the show. That's how you think about the show. It's something to bond with, you know,
And especially with, really, your musical background, too. It really seems that kids need shows like this. I mean, of course, we all love music. But especially for children that want to maybe get into musical theater, singing, acting.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I love that. You know what's, because I'm from Milwaukee. You know, there's a show that took place in Milwaukee. Actually, a couple shows. Laverne and Shirley and Happy Days.
Oh, my.
So both the clips in Milwaukee. Yeah.
With both amazing
theme songs. There you go.
I mean, Laverne and Shirley. Have you recreated the Laverne and Shirley theme song at any point?
I should. Shemazel. Hazel Pepper Incorporated.
We'll get you somebody to be your Laverne or your Shirley, depending on who you want to be.
Our way, yes, our way. Okay.
Oh, my God. What? Talk about theme songs. Happy days. Like, is it Happy Days?
Yeah. Monday. Yeah, I actually made a CD called Tune Into TV. It was all these songs from the shows that I loved. And I should find that somewhere. That would be fun, too.
and there's so many. Like you said, the 70s, the 80s, and 90s is truly the period of themes. That, I mean, maybe the 2000s. Although, going back to Power Rangers, Dino Charge, Dino Force. Oh my gosh.
And those are consistent. Those Power Ranger shows, they still whip out those theme songs. They're amazing.
And do you like how they always give you like the kind of Mighty Morphin-esque parts of the song as well? Because that's where the money's at.
I know. There was a guy squeeze it. There was a guy to squeeze that in there. But even the Super Sentai's, the Japanese shows, they were really known for their theme songs. So I think that's something that just carried over.
See, and you know that because you are a real fan. They can't tell you you're not.
I know. See, I've watched them. Not all of them, but some of them.
I mean, how much? That's true. I mean, how many after? They have so many seasons.
I know. Crazy. Crazy.
My God.
You know what was big for me too was Barney. That was a huge thing for me.
I agree. Another serial, a serial, my God. Another series that gets like, oh, it's Barney, but. Yeah.
Oh my God. Well, the thing is, like, when you're young, like, when I was little, when I was like 4 or 5 years old, that's when it was like huge. And I was like, I remember Barney before he was like the Barney people know, you know, he was blurple colored. He looked like slimy, like.
Yes! Oh my God. It was the, it was on VHS tapes with Sandy Duncan.
Sandy Duncan, the mom, is always in it. Oh my God, I loved Sandy Duncan. And she would sing songs too. And
I was going to say, yeah, she's always singing too, which is great.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. And I love that. I mean, people don't know that, Barney. People always think of the fluffy, fatter dinosaur. But this dinosaur was like slim. He's like.
Yeah, he was slim. It was the twink. It was twink Barney before he grew up to become daddy Barney.
I'm Bear Barney.
Was it called, Kevin? Was it Barney and Friends? Barney. Okay, was it Barney and Friends?
Barney and Friends. The first episode, the first video was like Backyard Gang or something.
Backyard Gang, something like that. Yeah.
But yeah, I was obsessed with that. But then it's like there's a point where like you get like 7 or 8, and people are like, "Oh, Barney's for babies," you know. I'm like, and that's you know, there's a point where you just look down on Barney. Even Animaniacs, they did a parody of Barney where they just like put throwing anvils on his head all the time, which is hysterical, but it's made of solid iron. It weighs a ton or two.
But you're right. It's like, yeah, it became the cool thing to hate Barney, but he taught a lot of kids.
He did, you know,
great things.
It's a staple and it's very important. And, you know, so.
And of course, I love you, you love me, where I have my family.
Yes. And I had my Barney slippers. I had my Barney stuffed animal. I had my Barney pajamas. I had Barney everything. And I will never, you know, discount the love I had for it. So
never, never. I mean, and truly. And then, I mean, later on, they got Baby Bob.
Baby Bob and BJ.
I was going to say, was it BJ? BJ. Well, Baby Bob, your brother. I don't know. But that show, I agree. And I remember even Barney books, reading them. He was everywhere. Talk about everywhere. That dinosaur.
Dinosaur. Oh, I'm the Baby Gotta Love Me. There's another one.
Trying to hit all these retro topics. Dinosaurs, too.
There's so many. We lived to the. I mean, that's the best time. You can't. It was the best times.
I mean, honestly. Yeah, I mean, kids today might have modern technology, which was really cool that they can, like, have tablets and stuff, but we had dinosaurs, and we had shows like that, and we had TV theme songs.
Land of the Lost, remember that show?
And an amazing theme song as well. In the Land of the Lost.
Yes!
Oh my god.
You can go on and on. There's so many amazing things from those times. Oh.
Oh my god, so many. They came from Nickelodeon, came from Disney Channel, Fox.
Yeah, I'm a big Disney nerd too.
Oh, yes you are. We didn't even mention that.
I know,
you
we didn't mention Disney. Disney.
You were a Disney fan.
Yeah. I'm actually getting ready to go to Disney World again in 2 days on Friday.
Oh my god! Holy crap, that's amazing! How long are you going to stay?
8 days a week. You know, we're annual pass. We're Disney Vacation Club, so and we get annual pass holders. And
wonderful,
stuff.
Wonderful.
So I get there generally about 2 weeks out of the year.
Are you gonna? Do you have outfits planned out already, or do you go there and do you just go into your like your whatever you want to wear, like your everyday kind
of? Yeah, I mean, you can. Disney bounding is a lot of fun.
Disney bounding.
And I have done a Pooh and Piglet thing for Halloween. We did a Pooh and Piglet thing. And it's funny because that's the one time you can actually dress up in something, but you also want to make sure it's something that's comfortable on rides. You know, I don't
want to. You don't want anything flying off when you're on, like, Space Mountain or something.
Right. Especially since it's in the dark. You can't see if it flies off or not. But
you come off with half an outfit. Wait.
Like, oh, all right. But, yeah, I want to do Disney bounding more because I haven't done it as often. I did have I had a Flynn Rider cosplay that I did recently, which was fun.
Ooh.
Yeah, and so there's more Disney cosplays I want to do, but I'll have to look into bounding since I'm in the park so often. Usually I just wear a fun Disney shirt.
Which always works, too, because you want to have fun, and like you said, you want to be able to, like, move around in the parks.
Right. It's something you can sweat in, you're comfortable sweating in. So,
although, how is the weather now out there in Florida this time of year?
Oh, it's very hot.
Oh.
It's probably worse than, like, the rest of the summer because this is where the humidity is the worst. It's, like, carrying over.
I hope tank tops, Kevin.
Oh, definitely. Like, I don't work on my arms for nothing. So.
And maybe can run into Brian out there. It's like, wait, there's arm guy.
Yeah. But yeah, I do have a lot of tank tops, and I have like some fun Disney shirts that I wear, and then we have fancy dinners, so I wear like a nice little button up for that, and yeah.
I went to Disney right before the December, right before, I guess, the shutdown.
Oh, wow.
So okay. That was the last, and now it's so exciting that you're going.
So, and we're taking some people. I would like to take people who had never been before, who haven't been in a long time, and show them all the new things, and that's always exciting to see their reactions.
And there's so many new things if they haven't gone in a while.
Right,
my goodness.
Right. 50th anniversary this year. October 1st is their birthday, so 50 years.
Retro. Yeah. Talk about retro.
1971 it opened, so it's pretty crazy.
My goodness. Yeah. And do you prefer world to land?
Well,
I mean, is that a taboo question?
I think it is. I always feel like I always worry about like offending the LA people, the Anaheim people, the California people. Sorry, Sean.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that is his park out there.
Yeah, and they are very, all my friends there are very, you know, defensive, and they're very, you know, rooting for the Disneyland park because that's their baby, that's their homeland, that's, you know. So, I mean, and that makes sense. You know, it's rightfully, you know, the thing to do. So, but like.
That's true. That's true. Like, that's your, yeah, it's the original, that's in your heart.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, you can't, fault them for that stuff, but Disney World was the first park I went to, and my family was always in Florida. I had family in Florida, so I've been to there a lot more. It's bigger. There's more space. There's less to see.
Yeah, I hate to put that as like a thing on it, but it even like Downtown Disney, it's like a whole place, a whole thing. Yeah,
and you know, four parks. You have to take a bus to get there, or a monorail to get there, or
yes,
it's a lot. Which, you know, sometimes it can be a little annoying to get from park to park. So I do appreciate, like, when I'm at Disneyland, I can just be like, oh, I'm just going to cross the street and go into the next park.
That does help. That's like the really good part about it.
Yeah, so that is kind of a nice perk. But yeah, there's just, you know, I always have a soft spot for World, and I love them both. Really, I love them both.
That's a good answer not to offend anybody as well. But
yeah,
I could see, though, having family in Florida. Yeah. And
the one I'm more familiar with is World.
Very diplomatic as well.
Yes, yes.
So, Kevin, where can people find you normally? And if someone wanted to connect with you and see some of the work that you do.
I'm on Instagram the most. That's like my primary spot to hang out. So
it's the best. I hate. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean,
to me anyway.
Yeah, I like. I'm on Twitter, but I don't like Twitter. I'm barely ever on there. I have to like have a really good reason to go on there.
Great.
But yeah, on Instagram, my main count is KGZ87, so KJEEZY87. You know, it's a very eclectic account. So you get everything. You get my modeling, you get my cosplay, you get sometimes singing songs, you'll get some Charmed posts, you'll get Disney posts, you'll get everything.
So it's almost like what you heard today, but think of it with more and updated all the time.
Yeah, yeah. I try to make that page just a very good summation of everything I am and who I am and what I love and what I enjoy. So it's just all me laid out there for you. So
Kevin also has two podcasts as well. Would you like to tell people about them and where they can find those?
Yes. Okay. So the first one is Words of the Witches, which if you're a Charmed fan, you would get that reference. It's a Charmed podcast.
If you heard today's episode, you might you might have been a Charmed fan.
Right, you might have been a Charmed fan. But that podcast is going over all of the published material in the Charmed universe. So I'm going over all of the novels that came out back in the day first, all 43 of them. And then after that, I'm going to do the comic books and some of the official magazines. And there's lots I have planned for that. I have like a 4-year plan for that podcast.
Wonderful. Longevity.
Yes.
Longevity.
So I'm very proud of that one. And it's really coming together and it's very fun.
And you have a lot of great guest stars on there as well.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. It's really nice because the dynamic changes. Every guest is a little different, brings something new to the table. And the way we talk is a little bit different. And it's cool having a guest thing. So
every episode, you get a fresh take and a different perspective as well.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm really loving it. I hope the audiences are loving it. Cool. And then the other one, I consider it's Hanging with the Halliwells. I consider it a sister podcast to Brunch with the Halliwells because they are. I feel like it's all the same community circling together, and you know, it's a yeah. So we got a link. You got your podcast here, and now you're on Brunch with the Halliwells, and now we got my podcast plus Hanging with the Halliwells. It's like it's fun. It's really cool.
It's true. Both like doing like we're tackling two, and both get the Charmed in our lives too, which is wonderful as well. Like we get that our Charmed fantasies.
Oh my gosh. Doing these podcasts, just talking about Charmed is all I really wanted to do. Because I would listen to Brunch. That's how I first connected with you two, I think.
Yeah, you caught up. My God, you like whipped through that show fast.
Yeah, I think I've listened to the whole series, the whole podcast in 3 weeks up to the current.
Holy crap. It was like that. Okay. I thought yeah. it was like really fast you got through it. Amazing.
Yeah, so it's really cool. And I feel like just talking about Charmed, and that's one thing, I listen to that, and I'm just like, I want to talk about stuff, I want to say stuff about this stuff, and so now I have the opportunity to do it all the time, and talk about Charmed, and do something, fulfill my soul. It really does fulfill my soul, in so many ways, so.
Charmed is that show for you, it's that show for me, but people have that show that they love, like we were saying earlier, that gives them something, it fills their heart, and you clearly have your heart filled when you talk about these subjects, which is wonderful.
Well, thank you. Yes.
And you have a YouTube channel as well. I mean, for anyone listening, I will link all of Kevin's social medias in the description and on the Instagram as well. But you could also find him on YouTube.
Yes. Right now, you can just look up Words of the Witches and you can find the channel there. The podcasts are posted there as well if you feel like it's listening to them on YouTube. If you don't like,
which I notice a lot of people, you're probably listening to this on YouTube now, everybody, but a lot of people seem to really like the YouTube podcast.
Yeah, I think because it's really convenient to get to. They know how to use YouTube. They're familiar with the layout and everything.
That's so true. That is so true.
Yeah. But yeah, I used to have back in the day, I had a different YouTube called KJ Charmed Freak.
And ooh, is this still on there?
It's still on there. It's still on there. And I used to make Charmed fan music videos. Yes. I think I made about 30 fan music videos with a different theme of Charmed. And I would get the clips from fan sites at the time. So all of them are like really kind of, sometimes they're not the best quality clips, but I would do my best. And Charmed.net and Charmed fan site and all those old classic fan sites.
Kevin, thank you so much for coming on today. And again, everything will be linked in the bio. I think that's the term. This streaming, wherever you're listening to this, you'll find his stuff in there. Below.
Oh, in that description box. Yeah.
The description box. Oh my God. See, there's the memory going. And you can always reach the Radical Retro Rewind podcast on Instagram, one word, as well as YouTube. And then we will be back in October 1st with our new season. So I hope this gave everyone a little taste, held everyone over. And thank you.
Thank you. Oh my gosh. I had so much fun.
Thank you so much, Kevin. Thank you. And you brought me back.
Yes. And you're scheduled for Words like next year, September. So in a year.
Okay, so if anyone's listening to this, I will be, yes, on Words of the Witches. I'm doing the last novel?
The last novel, yeah.
Which is a Halloween book. And I'm so glad that Kevin is saying in a year, because I'm freaking out because all of my charm novels are still missing, but I'm
so,
still...
question. Did I inspire your basement?
Yeah, you know what? That is one of the reasons, because I'm like, I need to find my charm novels. And every time I do a basement video, I literally search, I'm praying for Charmed. I'm opening boxes, I'm like, Charmed? A magazine? Fun. Something?
Yeah, right. Bye.
Bye.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early, so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.